And welcome to the Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm Phil Taylor. And we're going to be talking about Syria today and the news from Syria. We're going to be speaking, we hope, to our good friend Steve Sahuni, a journalist who lives in Latakia, Syria. If you haven't seen the headlines, both Russia and the United States top spokespersons are saying there's going to be a ceasefire, and that will probably be, I think it's supposed to commence on Friday, but it has little twists and turns and odd nuances. Not ceasefire with ISIS or two or three other named groups, and there is a question of who's going to enforce that. And of course, Turkey is making noises on its border, talking about attacking Kurds in Syria. So fairly complicated. It's nice to hear that there might be a ceasefire and that there might agree on a political settlement, but we need to talk to Steve Sahuni. But mainly he has war news about the progress of the Syrian army, we assume. And later we're going to be talking to Norman Otis Richmond, and we talk about some of the – it's Black History Month, but there's a lot of issues. There are the – there's the disputes about the – whether or not to support one candidate or the other in the United States, for example. There's we want to talk about a great cultural figure, Woody Strode. I don't know how many of our listeners know him. Canadians should. He was an outstanding football player with the Calgary Stampeders. And indeed, I think he won a Grey Cup. So we could talk about his career. Probably Jesse Owens. There's a film about Jesse Owens. And always with Jesse Owens, there's a little issue of what happened at the Berlin Olympics and that sort of thing. So we'll go into that. And the latter part of the show, we are going to be talking to Steve Gowans. And he wants to talk about, or will take up the issue of what was the U.S. strategy towards Syria, his thesis being that they planned this to overthrow the Assad government long before the events of 2011. There's a kind of little mantra they go through, an exercise where they say that there was going to be a that it did all because of demonstrations that occurred in 2011. Stephen Gowans proves that they had a plan already. I think we're joined by Steve Sahuni. Are you there, Steve?
Yes, I am.
Steve,
yes,
thank you very much. You are, of course, located in Syria. It's midnight there. I've just been telling our listeners that there is going to be Russia and the United States are announcing today there's going to be some type of ceasefire to begin on Friday. But I want to know, you have been updating us about the war. So give us your picture. Where do these armies, where does the Syrian army stand at this stage? And has their recent military success had anything to do with this ceasefire that's coming up?
The Syrian army today is, first of all, where I live in Latakia, he got back the village of Kansibba, very strategic area, and he only has a few kilometers away to take back the border with Turkey, and now he is heading from the northeast of Latakia towards the city of Idlib and the suburbs of Idlib to take it back from the terrorists who are ISIS there. And this morning I saw a picture of on the internet from Idlib, and it said ISIS. No one can call them moderate troubles because they're not. Uh-huh. That's from Latakia and Idlib. Mm-hmm. From Aleppo, the second biggest city in Syria and the economical capital of Syria, the Syrian army has been doing very big progress, and power plant have taken back their electricity power plant in north suburbs of Aleppo, after the terrorist groups took that area and took the power plant and cut off over 4 million people of Aleppo with no electricity. And that power plant gives electricity to the water. So the city of Aleppo has been for months now has a problem with no water, no drinking water, and no electricity. The Syrian army got that area back, and 31 villages back around that power plant got it back. And the electric minister came out and said that that power plant will be working in around 1 week, and the city of Aleppo and the people of Aleppo will have electricity. That's from the Aleppo side. At the same time, the Syrian army is doing big progress in the south of Syria, in Deraa.
Yeah, and another major center.
Yeah, a major with the south borders with Jordan, and also with the occupied land of Jolan with the Israeli occupation. Also, they're gaining land. It's not on the media so much, but as my friends are telling me, the Syrian army is doing big progress. The Russian Air Force is helping very much. Mm-hmm. We had two terrorist attacks in two different cities, Homs and Damascus, yesterday. Over 5 car bombs in the areas of Sid Zainab in Damascus and the village, the neighborhood of Al-Zahra. In Hamas, hundreds are between killed who are martyrs and hundreds are injured. The bombing of Sid Zainab in Damascus was ISIS, and they came out and announced that it was them.
You regard that as sort of their way of being bad losers, that is, trying to use dirty war tech methods to, in a way, kind of show the flag, even though they're being defeated?
Yeah, that's true, because they cannot do any victories on the ground, and they're failing. So they need them and they need positive energy and hope for their people. So how can they do it? They will show like, oh, look, we can still hurt.
Yes.
Hurt the Syrian government and the Syrian people. Mm-hmm. That's from once. Mm-hmm. Yeah, tell me.
I want to ask you now, because thinking of the ceasefire, it is ISIS that's remaining in Aleppo, right? They're not going to try to claim that those people are moderates. Hello?
Can you repeat?
Oh, yes.
Can you repeat?
I just wonder, with... those who remain holding on to part of Aleppo, who are they? And are they going to be clearly identified as not part of the peace agreement?
Look, this is the problem. The opposition in Riyadh and other outside have no control of the terrorists in Aleppo. Mm-hmm. Or anywhere in Syria. If, like, let's say the opposition of Riyadh tell the terrorists on the ground, stop on the ceasefire. They're not going to stop. And today, the terrorist groups are, right now, they're coming out with statements that they're not going to accept the ceasefire.
What is their statement?
They're not going to, they don't accept the ceasefire. They're not going to go for it.
Well, that'll be their own tough luck, right? I mean, from the point of view of the agreement that's been struck with the Syrian government and with the Russia and the U.S., that general process, that would mean they're on their own, won't it?
Yeah, they're on their own.
Uh-huh. Well, I find that frankly encouraging because, you know, the attempt to camouflage terrorists as moderates has been a dangerous part of this. But if they're saying that they're not for it and they're not going to recognize it, well, then so be it.
That's true.
Now, what about Turkey at this point? Where do you come down on the issue? Is Turkey acting, is it the tail wagging the dog, or is the U.S. dog wagging Turkey? What do you think that is going on there?
No, Turkey doesn't control anything. As President Assad said the other day in his interview, I think to the French news agency, Turkey and Saudi and the Arab Gulf are just puppets. Mm-hmm. They do what their masters in Washington tell them. Mm-hmm. And there's no, and as he said, and as the whole, the majority of the Syrian people think that Turkey and Saudi, they don't have the courage to do this war. And at the same time, they're, whatchamacallit, it's not the benefit to anyone. And at the same time, is just to scare, like to pressure, mental pressure to for the signal, like for the deal.
Mm-hmm. I noticed that the Saudi minister who got a lot of attention 3 or 4 days ago, he was talking very militant. But one of the details of every time he talked, he was talking about we need the U.S. The U.S. has got to do something. And so, in other words, he's just talking.
Yeah. Let the Saudis come out of the war from Yemen first with a victory. There, every day missiles are falling on the heads of the in south of Saudi Arabia from the Yemeni resistance. They cannot stop a few ballistic missiles from the Yemenis. They're going to stop tens of thousands of the Syrian army missiles, who are much more sophisticated. Of course not. Yeah. There's just one thing I wanted to say to the Western world and to all of the media world. On Friday, I lost a great friend of mine, and who is a journalist, field journalist. Mm-hmm. He was covering what's happening on the ground from all over, from Deraa to Quneitra, Damascus, Homs, Latakia, Homs, all over. He was killed by a missile. A Tau missile on the car that he was in, who's funded by the American taxpayer. The American taxpayer who are paying for those missiles, and who that missile was smuggled from the Turkish government and Erdogan, who killed that journalist.
Mm-hmm. Please go ahead.
Yeah, so those terrorist group is not, he's not the first journalist, Adonis Nasser, he was named. He is not the first journalist who's been killed by the terrorist group. Many of these terrorist group have killed many journalists because they just want to show the truth of what's happening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they have targeted journalists. Hello?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm still with you.
Oh, I was just saying that my impression has been throughout this, it is actually an exceptionally high percentage of journalists killed. And most of the commentary I've seen, including Robert Fisk and others, is that they are deliberately targeting journalists just as a way, it's sort of like a cheap way to get a larger news stories. Is it, you know, they take out a journalist, they know that's going to get a lot more headlines.
That's true, and they were bragging on it on their Facebook pages. They were bragging that they killed that journalist.
Yes. The Turkish border, the armies. There is. If I could just ask you specifically, there is this Kurdish organization that Turkey says that they want to go after. Could you tell us quickly about them? And what the status of fighting is there?
First of all, everyone's saying that the Kurdish are afraid from the Kurdish, and the Kurdish are going to make their own government and all of that. The Kurdish people in Syria are a part of the Syrian country. They are a part of Syria. They are not their own country, and they don't want their own country. The Syrian Kurds, they don't want their own country. They just want their rights, and that and they have a right for that. When the terrorists and ISIS started attacking them, they picked up the weapons, mm-hmm. and they started defending themselves, and they have the complete right to defend themselves. At these days, right now, there is cooperation between the Kurds on the ground and the Russian Air Force, and the Russian Air Force are helping them on the ground in Aleppo and are bombing the terrorist groups. And yes, they are winning, and they're making big progress in north of Aleppo and in east of Aleppo against ISIS and the terrorist groups.
Yeah. Well, I
ISIS is the, yeah.
I was just going to say, I consider that good news. The troublemaker in the neighborhood is Mr. Erdogan, and my impression is that he's a major headache as this ends. Stephen, I thank you very, very much. And thank you for staying up. We're very sorry at the loss of your friend. And I hope that maybe we can do a full report about him sometime, okay?
Yes, it's my honor.
All right, thank you. Stephen Sahuni, thank you very much. And you're listening to The Taylor Report. It's CIUT. It's 89.5 FM. By the way, you can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/ The Taylor Report. And now, while I'm thinking of it, you can also write to us, Taylor@CIUT.FM.